Good evening. This is Life Rattle, the story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1268, we present two stories by new Life Rattle writer Courtney Olmsted. Courtney Olmsted, the third of four children and the only girl, was born in Kowloon, Hong Kong in 1985. Courtney's parents moved the family to Canada when she was 9 years old. In Canada, Courtney refused to speak Cantonese in front of her new classmates. At 22, when she returned to Hong Kong as part of a six-week backpacking adventure through Southeast Asia, Courtney soon wished she could remember the Cantonese language. When she returned to Canada, Courtney studied writing and communications and women and gender studies in university. Courtney Olmsted intends to pursue a master's degree, but first wants to spend more time indulging in her passion, traveling. Courtney Olmsted's writing is direct and straightforward. On the surface, the two stories we will hear tonight capture just a small moment in time, but that first impression is quite deceptive. Upon reflection, you realize that Courtney has managed to show us a larger picture. Through her use of carefully chosen details, we are left with a much broader understanding of the central characters. Tonight's first story is set in a small school in Guatemala. Surrounded by a flock of four-year-olds, excited by the prospect of once again hearing the three little pigs, our narrator, a volunteer teacher, perhaps learns as much as she has taught. Let's listen now as Courtney Olmsted reads her story, Flower, tonight on Life Rattle.
Flower by Courtney Olmsted. I lean against the whiteboard and do a quick head count. Fewer kids have shown up for the afternoon class. They sit in front of me in a semicircle. ¿Quién quiere a cantar la canción tarde buena? Who wants to sing the good afternoon song? 25 little hands fly into the air. Unos, dos, tres. As loud as they can, 25 four-year-olds sing the good afternoon song. This is my last day as a volunteer teacher at the Itzapa School in Guatemala. I had arrived in the capital, Antigua, a few weeks earlier on a flight from Toronto. I learned a good deal of Spanish in high school, but 8 years had passed. I stand in front of my afternoon class for the final time. I look into their little faces as they sing. Flores scuffles around the crumbling brick wall. Every day she wears the same unwashed clothes. Hola, Flores. Buenos tardes, señora. Good afternoon, teacher, she says. In English, her name translates to flower, and if a flower had a voice, it would be hers. We're not supposed to have favorites, but Flora's is mine. Flora's fetches a little red plastic chair from the back of the room and joins the group. We go through the rest of our routine. The kids yell out their newly learned numbers, this week's lesson of letters, the fruit of the day, and the number of kids in the class. Heidi, my co-teacher, decides to read a story. Since it's my last day, we ditch the spelling lesson and let the kids enjoy a fun Friday. I sit on a red plastic table against the bamboo that divides the classrooms so I can see all the kids. Crowd control. When the children realize we'll be reading a book rather than learn a spelling lesson, they jump out of their chairs, clap their hands, and scream the names of their favorite books. Most of them yell for Los Tres Cochinitos, the Three Little Pigs. I had memorized the book in Spanish by my fourth day in Antigua. The kids can't seem to get enough of it. I sit against the bamboo, and every now and again, I have to split up the kids for hitting, talking, and throwing dirt they picked up from the cracked cement floor. Flores drags her chair over to the table beside me. She stands up with her back towards me. She wants to sit on my lap. Flores was the only kid who wouldn't just climb onto my lap at story time. I pick her up and set her on my lap. She leans her head into my chest. ¿Tú es cansada? I ask if she feels tired. Sí. ¿Por qué? I ask why. Porque la lluvia venía en mi casa ayer por la noche y tuve que trabajar en los campos de esta mañana. Because the rain was coming into my house last night, and I had to work in the field this morning, she whispers. Flores listens to the rest of the three little pigs.
That was Flower, written and read by Courtney Olmsted. Our second and last story tonight brings us back to Canada. This time our narrator and her brother are visiting her 90-year-old grandmother. This story, full of wry humor and love and affection, is a good lesson for all of us on how to react to the lapses that accompany old age and how to respond to well-intended but somewhat questionable acts of kindness. Let's listen now as Courtney Olmsted reads her story, 6 months.
Six Months by Courtney Olmsted. My brother Ryan and I decide to make the short trip to visit our grandmother in the Beaches. I haven't seen Grandma since May, when we hosted a party in our backyard for her 90th birthday. I don't see her as often as I should. I try to visit every few months, but sometimes I don't see her for 6 months at a time. Grandma sounds excited when we talk on the phone. I would love to see you both. Ryan drops me off at the front of the building and drives down the block to Aunt Marion's house to put the frozen meals we have for Grandma in the freezer. Grandma's kitchen is too cluttered to cook. She says she likes to use the oven to store her shoes and the freezer for her batteries. The elevator dings and the doors rumble open at the second floor. The plant she placed outside the elevator has survived the winter. Every time I visit, she tells me that it's her plant, but it's for everyone in the building to enjoy. The plant sits on a small, green carpeted dolly so she can move it without lifting it. I'm walking down the hallway when I spot her outside her front door. Hi, Grandma. Oh, hi, honey. How are you? I'm good. How are you? I bend down and give her a hug and a kiss. She's at least a foot shorter than me. Here, let me take that. I grab the three plastic bags she holds, full of what can only be old, useless crap. We make the awkward exchange of shit she has bagged for us to take home. Shit she collects from garage sales, the side of the road, and from the garbage. She keeps one hand on her bundle buggy to balance herself as she walks. Her knees wobble. We stopped trying to buy her a cane years ago because she prefers to use the bundle buggy as a walker. Phone books from the early 90s sit at the bottom to weigh it down. Grandma and I head for the elevator. We take a few steps. She stops. She reaches into the pockets of the knee-length black and lime-green coat she bought at a garage sale for $5 in 1985, the year I was born, and won't toss it because she says it's a good coat and it keeps her warm. She pulls her hands out of her pockets and tells me she left her gloves inside the condo. For fuck's sakes, Ryan's going to have gone to the restaurant, ate, paid the bill, got in the car, and driven back into Mississauga before we even get to the damn elevator. Grandma sets her purse down on the wooden bench that sits under the front window outside her condo. I'm not sure where she got the bench or how she hauled it up here, but there it sits, boxes piled on one end and her purse on the other. Grandma rummages through her purse for her apartment keys and comes across a menu she picked up from the Thai restaurant where we ate last time. Look this over and make sure there is something you can eat there. She passes me the menu every time I visit to make sure the restaurant has vegetarian options. We eat at this Thai restaurant every time. It's across the street, close enough to walk. They have a lunch special she likes. Chicken pad Thai, a veggie spring roll, and hot and sour soup. For less than $10. Grandma finds her keys. She bought the condo because an outdoor courtyard surrounds it, and she can step outside without leaving the building when she opens the front door. We've been standing outside for what feels like 15 minutes in the middle of winter. My fingers would snap right off if someone were to high-five me. And I have to pee. Grandma, while you get your gloves, I'm going to use your bathroom before we head down, okay? Yeah, okay, honey. I haven't been inside Grandma's condo in a couple of years. Every time I visit her, she's already waiting outside, or I see her at Aunt Marion's. I'm nervous and curious to see what's inside. Grandma unlocks the door. A clear path leads through to the middle of the living room, just wide enough to walk through. With boxes upon boxes piled neatly against all the walls in the room, there is stuff, random, useless stuff, everywhere. I weave through old lamps, end tables covered with picture frames, and piles of yellowed newspapers to reach the bathroom. Clothes hang from the shower curtain rod. Makeup hides the countertop. A fly floats belly up in the water in the sink. Do you need another pair of shoes? I faintly hear her voice. Her head is probably buried in one of the 50 boxes in the living room. I drain the stale water in the sink and watch the fly disappear. I wash my hands. I step out of the bathroom, wiping my hands on my jeans. I wasn't sure which one of the 5 towels to use and opted for none. No, I don't think so, Grandma. Why? Well, I got this pair the other day and thought they might fit you. She hands me a pair of pink thong sandals with a sunflower on top. It's November. Oh yeah, they're cute. I'll wear those, I lie. They're probably 2 sizes too small for me. Where'd you get them from, Grandma? I think they were left over from a garage sale because they were just sitting at the end of a driveway with some other nice things. I've had them since last summer. I learned over the years to take everything she offers and then donate it to Goodwill so it wouldn't sit around her house for the next 10 years. Grandma leans against the boxes to help her walk to the front door. She puts on her black leather gloves, adjusts her hat so the yellow bow sits perfectly to the side of her head, tucks her blue scarf into her black coat, then reaches into a basket on a shelf and hands me a pair of blue wool mittens, the kind with the flap that exposes just the fingertips. Here, take these. I don't wear them and your hands will freeze outside. Oh no, it's okay, Grandma. I'll be fine. No, you keep those. I don't need another pair of gloves. Thanks, Grandma. I slip each finger through its designated hole. I open the front door and step out, making sure Grandma has a hand on my arm. Ryan walks down the hall from the elevator. Hi, Grandma, he calls out, still about 10 feet away from us. Oh, hi, honey. I thought you were meeting us at the restaurant. I had a feeling you guys might still be here. He hugs her and glances at me. He knows the routine. Here's your menu, Grandma. We bring meals my father has cooked for her and frozen when we visit. Dad puts a sticky label with a number on each container and writes a menu of what each frozen dinner contains. Shepherd's pie, my favorite. Item number 1 on the menu. I'm going to save that. The lines around Grandma's mouth and eyes deepen. She smiles. I won't let another 6 months pass.
That was 6 months, written and read by Courtney Olmsted. That concludes Life File number 1268. My name is Laurie Callis. Life File was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Ackman. Tune in next week to hear stories from new Life File writer, Belinda Grayburn.